Psalm 119, and I'd like for us to begin reading in verse 153, Psalm 119, verse 153, and we'll go down to verse 160, please. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 153. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked. They do not seek your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacherous and am disgusted, because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. I'd ask you to notice that in this reading we saw a few times the plea from the psalmist, revive me. And specifically there near the end of our reading, he pleads, revive me, O Lord. All of us get to a point in our life where maybe we just don't feel as alive in our faith as we wish we were. Maybe it is we've faced some discouragement, or maybe there are trials that we are going through in life, and it's just harder for us to be enthused and excited about our faith in the way that we once were. If we think of the definition of what it means to revive, the Old King James translated this, quicken me. It is defined as to flourish anew. It is a renewal, a revitalizing. It is reinvigorating. It is rescue from trouble. Is it important for us as Christians to be revived? Is it important for us to have the zeal that we once did? Compare a couple of passages with me, if you would. We're going to go back to the Psalms in just a moment, but first go to the book of Galatians. And notice with me in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. The Bible teaches that we as Christians are not to grow weary in our service to the Lord. There are those things that tire us out in our faith. There are those things that lead us to just feel drained. But Paul, through the Holy Spirit, pleads, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So we are to work to try to avoid discouragement or feeling as if we are dead in our faith. Over in the book of Psalms, once again, go with me to Psalm 139. It is interesting to me how often this idea of a plea for revival or quickening or making us alive again, renewing our faith, is found in Scripture. In Psalm 139, in particular, let's read together verses 7 through 8, where the psalmist here says, where can I go from your... I'm sorry, 138. 138. I turned one psalm too far. 138 and verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hand. So here, notice this plea, this appeal, this desire that the Lord will revive the soul of the psalmist. I'd like for us this morning, go back with me to Psalm 119. We're going to spend a good deal of time there this morning. We'll look at some other passages. But I want us to notice that the Bible teaches us that God can and will revive us. But I want you to notice that within this psalm, there are set forth three things that I want us to notice are the ways in which the psalmist says that God grants revival to us in our faith. And the first one that I'd like for us to notice here in Psalm 119, let's look at verse 154 of what we read just a moment ago. Psalm 119 and verse 154. You remember as we read this, "Plead my cause and redeem me, revive me according to your word." Now we're going to see a number of times in this psalm and in some places that we read in the Hebrew here the use of the term "according to." Now a lot of times when we read those things in Scripture, in the New Testament in particular, it is describing that which follows in accordance with. Here, I think the better way for us to think of that is that it is the Word that grants that revival. And I ask you to check that with me as we look through here and look at these three things, because we're going to see that commonly expressed. But notice here, if that's the idea, here he is making the appeal that by the Word of God, he be granted revival. Do we think of it that way very much? Do we think that when we look to the Word of God, we can be revived in our faith? I think we should if we don't. You know, the Bible teaches that faith that is a saving faith is a faith that's not grounded just upon some feeling or grounded upon some circumstance that we've experienced, but rather it is a faith that is grounded in the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Look at me in the same psalm, and let's notice together an example of the way in which we see the psalmist describing this idea. Go back with me to verse 37 in Psalm 119. Verse 37 in Psalm 119 expresses much this same idea about the manner in which we may gain revival from God's Word. It is God's Word that brings us to faith. It is God's Word that teaches us about Him. It is God's Word that grants us hope. Notice what the psalmist here says. "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me," notice the way it's put here, "in your way." When we think about the things that belong to God, the way that God wants us to live our lives, and the way in which our designer created us so that we will live as we ought to, that is offered here as something that can revive us, bring us back to life, if you will. Look at me at verse 49 through 55 in the same psalm. And I want you to notice here the way it describes God's Word working in us when we allow it to. Notice beginning in verse 49. "Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. For your word," notice this, "has given me life. The proud have me in great derision. Yet I do not turn aside from your law. I remember your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Indignation has taken hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and keep your law." Notice the idea that he emphasizes here, that the Word can be a joy. The Word, he actually says, gives me life. I hope that we think of it that way. In the New Testament, if you look with me in the book of 1 Thessalonians, we see a very clear statement that shows this very idea. The Word is not something that's just a matter of words on paper. It is not something that we should just see as an obligation or a law that we need to look to. It is rather that which gives us life. Notice the way it's put here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. When Paul is talking to these brethren, he says, "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received," listen to this, "the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God," listen to this, "which also effectively works in you who believe." If you and I are not alive in our faith as we ought to be, let's go back to God's Word. Let's spend more time in God's Word. But back into Psalm 119, let's notice the second thing that the psalmist sets forth as something that can revive us. And let's go to Psalm 119 and verse 156. Psalm 119 and verse 156. Here it is not the word specifically, but the way it's translated in the New King James, I want you to notice the way it's put, revive me according to your judgments. Now, judgment can be used in a few different ways. Sometimes we will see in the Law of Moses in particular, when it has to do with certain kinds of things about how you are to respond to certain situations, a judgment is put forth about how we are to live. Sometimes we certainly think of judgment in accordance with what it is that God will decide as it pertains to our life and our standing before Him. He will bring us into judgment. But let's compare this with some wording we see in the same psalm as well. Look with me at verse 149, and I want you to notice it's worded just a little bit different there. In verse 149, it says, hear my voice according to your loving kindness, O Lord, revive me, listen to this, according to your justice. Sometimes the reason that we may be discouraged, or the reason that we may not be as enlivened in our faith as we ought to, is because we look at some injustice. And we look at something that's happened in life that's not the way we wish that it would be. Is the psalmist here telling us that when we recognize the justice of God that will come to the wicked, when we recognize that He will do that which is right in the end, that is something that can revive us? Compare this with verse 40 and go with me back near the beginning of the psalm, back to verse 40. This is a long psalm and there are a lot of verses in it. Back in verse 40, we'll notice that here it's a little bit different idea even. It may be a little bit separate, but I want to connect it together here. Notice, behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. God always does right. Whether we perceive it as righteousness or not, whether we recognize that it will be right in the end or not, here I think the psalmist offers forth the idea that recognition of the righteousness of God is that which can revive us and enliven our faith. This idea of righteousness leads me to think of a New Testament passage I'd like us to look at. Go with me to a very familiar text in Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1 and in verse 16. And I want us to notice, we go to this talking about the meaning of the gospel and the power of the gospel quite often, but I want to read just a little bit further than we sometimes stop. And notice it in light of this idea that we've just looked at. Revive me according to your judgments. Revive me according to your justice. Revive me according to your righteousness. Notice what Paul says here in Romans 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. We look at that and we see, yes, it is the gospel that is the way of salvation in this age. And that's correct. But let's notice, he goes on to tell us some other things. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now think about that. How is it that the gospel of Jesus Christ reveals the righteousness of God? Well, there are a few different ways that we can consider that. It demonstrates in the very death of Jesus Christ, God's abhorrence of evil and abhorrence of sin. Lest we ever imagine God didn't care about sin, you think about that crucified Savior upon the cross that had to be offered as a sacrifice for sin. It shows He is just and the justifier of those that put their faith in Christ Jesus. But notice, it is also the means by which God grants that we may stand right before Him. We are sinners separated from God because of our sin. We rightly deserve to be eternally separated from Him in a place of punishment. And yet by His mercy, by His love, by His willingness to extend mercy and grace to us, we may stand right before Him. But notice the passage doesn't end there. I want us to go on and read one more verse here in Romans chapter 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, notice, and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. When I am down in my faith, when I am not as strong as I ought to be, I need to, number one, go back and meditate a good deal upon what God has done for me, how it is that He offers that I can be right before Him. But don't stop there. We must also meditate upon the fact that that love and that mercy demands some things of me. He has given the means by which I may be right, and I just don't have the time to be dead in my faith. I just don't have the time to not be as enthused as I ought to, because I realize how much He's done for me that I might be right. But further, we must also recognize here in verse 18, He is going to bring judgment on those that live unrighteously. And may that not be those who have come to Christ, who have been made right by the gospel of Christ. Let us never return back to a life of unrighteousness. Let it never be that we, as it puts it here in verse 18, suppress the truth in unrighteousness. The psalmist tells us that we may be revived according to His judgments. But one last thing. Go with me one last time to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And let's look at verse 59 in our reading. Psalm 119 and verse 159. The way that he puts it here, consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. Go back to verse 88 in this psalm. And I want you to notice the wording there. It's just a little bit different, but very similar idea. We've noticed that God's Word can revive us. We have noticed that His judgments expressed in His righteousness and His justice can revive us. But I want us to notice that here, in a very similar way to what we just talked about, the way it's worded here, revive me according to your loving kindness, that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. When we become dead in our faith, when we are not as enthused as we ought to be, I am convinced that we've lost sight of where we were, how much God has blessed us, how much He has loved us, and what He has done for us. We allow ourselves to get kind of narrow vision in the sense that we look at whatever it may be that troubles us, and we become so consumed with that that we forget the blessings He's given us in a material way, but especially those blessings He's given us spiritually. You know, we have all sinned against God, and we in that condition are unworthy of an ounce of mercy from Him. We are unworthy of His patience with us, but how patient He has been with us in our lives. Let's notice in the book of Titus, in Titus 3, verses 4 through 7, when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. What a blessing. How can it ever be that you and I allow ourselves to get deadened in our faith, to get to that point where we are not as enthusiastic about serving the Lord as we once were? Now, all of us have been there. All of us get there from time to time. But I hope that we will think about these three points that the psalmist offers to us as ways in which, when we do so, we can revive our faith. We can do so, first of all, by following His Word and feeding upon His Word. We do so, secondly, by meditating upon His judgments expressed in His righteousness and expressed in His justice. But we do so, finally, by recognizing the great mercy and loving kindness that He has shown to us. No, we didn't deserve it. If you're here this morning and you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, maybe it's not an issue with you of reviving your faith. Maybe you need to start by putting your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Confess that faith before men. Repent and turn from sin that separates you from God, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Abide in the Word of God, and you will have that hope set before you of eternal life in the age to come. If as a Christian, maybe you think about the psalmist's plea here for revival in his faith, revival in his trouble, and maybe that hits home with you. Maybe that has brought you to that point where you're not living as you should. You have brothers and sisters that are in that same fight with you. And it's not a shame to ask for their help and to ask for their prayers. And if there's any way we can help you in that way, we'd be honored to do so. Won't you come while we stand and sing?